This is week three, class two of Living Faith. Now, once again, just to kind of wrap up and remind before we head into the next section here. If your faith is developed, you're going to have works. And what's interesting is that you won't have to think twice about it. And here's what I mean. When your faith is developed and God tells you to do something, you're going to be able to do it. And you're not going to have to sit around and try and figure out what's the best way to accomplish this. Because when you're operating in faith, you're operating in a belief that the plan's already laid out, and it's just a matter of receiving that plan from God. Too many people confuse, I'll try and figure out the best way to do this, I'll come up with a plan, and then I'll act in faith. Well, that's not acting in faith. That's not a work of faith. When your faith is built up to where it should be, the works are just going to come. The works are just going to be there. Again, use the example of Abraham. You go back and you read that story, and it was as though he didn't even hesitate. There was no reluctance, you know, based on what you read in here. It was like, he just, okay, well, that's no problem. I can do this. I mean, it sounds a little odd, but I'll go ahead and do this. And then they get to where they're supposed to be, and he tells the helpers that were with them, and he says, now, you guys wait here. The boy and I will be back after we're done worshiping the Lord. And off they go. And you don't get an indication there that Abraham, and even then, you know, his son's laying there, and he says, excuse me, Dad, but the sacrifice, where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, ah, son, don't worry about that. God will provide himself a lamb. How prophetic. And sure enough, it happened. I mean, Abraham knew. He just knew. When you're walking in faith, you're just going to know. You're just going to know. And here's the incredible thing about that. Is so many people in the body of Christ have never really been to that point of just knowing. They've been maybe in minor things, but when it comes to like stepping out there, it's just like Kenneth Copeland tells a story of how one time God told him, you know, at this particular point in your ministry, this is what I want you to do. I want you to begin to take advantage, or I want you to be on every available radio station that you can be on. Well, he knew that's what God had told him to do, so he set out to do it. Now, a lot of people would think, well, you got to do it all at one time. You do it, contact all of them and do it. No, you do it one radio station at a time. And you begin to, I mean, you can't talk to all the radio stations at the same time. Are you with me? So he set in to do what God told him to do. But his faith was at the point that God could tell him to do that, and he would do it without hesitation. When you're operating in faith, you just know it. You just know it's there. You know it's going to work out. Because when you're operating in faith, you're operating out of a relationship with God. It's a different dimension of a relationship with God. And when people come to me and they say things, oh, like this. Like, well, I hope I'm acting in faith, right? You know, I hope this works out. And you just told me what's going on. You don't know. And you're not sure. And it's not faith. What you're doing is like, you're covering your eyes at the edge of a cliff and stepping out and hoping there's going to be something there. Remember that one Indiana Jones movie?
Yeah.
How that, you know, that bridge? I mean, you really couldn't see it because it blended in. And man, he just took that big step out there and there it was. You know, all of a sudden you could see what was there. That's how a lot of Christians act. They hope, you know, I hope when I take this step, God's there to catch me. It's like, no, faith knows the bridge is already there to walk on. That's the difference. And there are so many Christians who just don't get it when it comes to operating by faith. They think operating by faith is taking a step and not knowing. Operating by faith is taking the step and knowing. See? It's walking into a dark room and knowing that when you walk in that room, there will be light in there for you to see what's supposed to be done. Even if nobody else sees what's supposed to be done, there's going to be light in that room for you because God's told you to go in that room and do what He wants you to do. Well, what does it mean to live by faith? If you're not on page 7 of your outline, go ahead and turn over there. It means doing it God's way. Living by faith is only living by faith if it is done according to God's definition of living by faith. Sounds really simple, doesn't it? But living by faith is not living by hope. I hope this works out. I hope this is going to happen. Abraham wasn't living by hope. He was living by faith. He said, the boy and I will come back. He didn't say, golly gee, I hope this works out, fellas, because if it doesn't, it's just going to be me coming back here. He said, the boy and I will be back. Living by faith is not living by hope. I hope I'm making the right decision. I hope. Now, let me just sidestep here for just a moment. I don't care if it's Brother Copeland or Brother Hagen or Brother anybody. Everyone comes to points in their lives where they're not sure. The faith walk puts on the brakes and stops. Gets in there with God to find out, to be sure. The hope walk puts the pedal to the metal and hopes the road doesn't run out. That's the difference. Living by faith is not living by what you believe. Now, I've heard that, you know, variations of that thought. You know, you got to live by what you believe, or some variation of that thing. Well, no, faith, living by faith is not living by what you believe, and that is contrary to much of the faith preaching, but what if what you believe doesn't line up with the Bible? You say, well, it has to line up with the Bible. If I believe it, it has to line up with the Bible. Well, it may not. God's definition of living by faith, Matthew 4:4, man shall live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Okay? And it's extremely important to remember that word every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. There are too many Christians that only think they're living by God's word. And here are some examples, very simple. God's word does not forbid women to wear jewelry. Alright? So, if somebody tells you that in order for you to be pleasing, without faith it's impossible to please God, right? So if somebody tells you that you can't please God if you've got all that jewelry on, that didn't come from the mouth of God, all right? So that's not living by faith. Now, if you don't want to wear jewelry, don't. Take it off, leave it at home, that's okay. You don't want to wear makeup, that is your choice, it's all right. You want to wear it, fine, wear it. Paint your face up, I mean, till it's 3 inches out from your face, till we can't recognize you. I mean, hang jewelry all over your ears. Whatever you want to, if that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. But not doing it is not living by faith. Likewise, God's word does not mandate that church only be held on a specific day. We were coming home this past Thanksgiving. We went down to Alabama, visit some family, hadn't seen them in years, and we're coming back home on I-75, and we passed this billboard. And how many billboards are not cheap, okay? You know, to rent a billboard, it's rather pricey. And this thing on this billboard, I don't remember the exact words, but the message was this. I mean, it almost came across like, if you don't go to church on Saturday, you're going to hell. I mean, it was something about that. Yeah, if you didn't go to church on Sunday, then you were going to get the mark of the beast or something like that. All right? I mean, it was just crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. I'm thinking, man, somebody paid good money to put that bill. Send it to the Bible college. We can do a lot better with it. Yeah, we'll put something on that billboard. And there are people that will tell you, you know, bless God, it's the Sabbath, it's the Sabbath, it's the Sabbath. You know, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Well, I heard things like that growing up in church. Problem was, we had church on Sunday, and it wasn't until later on in life that I figured out Sunday wasn't the Sabbath. But we justified it by saying, well, the Sabbath is whatever day you take to be your day of rest. That is your Sabbath. And we have chosen to make our Sabbath Sunday. And I bought into that for a while until I figured out, no, according to the Bible, the Sabbath is the last day of the week. And I don't care what you call it and what you try to change it to mean, you're not going to change the fact that the Bible says the Sabbath is the last day of the week. Then it came up, well, you know, if the Sabbath is the last day of the week, then you better be going to church on Saturday until I get over into the New Testament and I find out what the Sabbath is all about, and that it was simply a type and a shadow of the rest that we enter into when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So now, you want to have church on Tuesday? Do it. It doesn't matter. You want to have church on Monday? Do it. It doesn't matter. You want to test the amount of legalism that you're in bondage to? Go to church Monday through Saturday and then skip Sunday. and see how guilty you feel. It's amazing how brainwashed we can be and not even know it. Oh, God, no. I mean, here, you know, the weather was bad here a couple of weeks ago, and we canceled church. But we made the decision to cancel Sunday church before the county declared a level 3 emergency, all right? But, I mean, I'm the pastor, okay? And I called church off. I called church off. Oh, God, forgive me, Jesus. I'm so sorry. Oh, Lord, Jesus. And then when the county declared level 3, I thought, I'm off the hook. They couldn't come anyway. I'm serious. On the inside of me, there was a little something that's like, man, you canceling church? I mean, you're canceling church? What if they all backslide? You're canceling church? It's silly. It's silly. You know what? God would... If you want to talk about God getting angry about a decision, He'd have probably been more angry with me for having church and people feeling guilty for thinking of staying home. It's like, oh, we're having church, man. Got to go. I mean, so what if there's 50 feet of snow? And so what if we run over into a ditch? So what if we have a wreck? We got to go to church. Got to go to church. Well, that really got God upset. He'd rather you be safe, you know? Of course, now the assumption is this. You stayed home from church. You spent time with the Lord, right? Sure, we all did, didn't we? Yeah. Pastor had a day off. He spent a lot of time with the Lord. Glory. Well, let's go on in the outline here. God's Word does not teach that He withholds blessings until we give. God's Word doesn't teach that. Now, I know you probably heard it taught that way. And I know you've heard it preached that way. But when you get over here into the New Testament, you begin to find out what a relationship with God is all about. You don't find in here where God says, I'm holding back on you till you produce in the offering plate. But because we've been brought up with that mentality, when we find out that God doesn't withhold if we don't give, and when we find out that He doesn't curse when we don't give, suddenly we feel a burden has lifted off of our shoulders. He's not going to withhold blessings. And He's not going to curse me. Well, hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free. Now, let's see here. What can I do with my money? If we had been raised as a generation taught to be focused on the spread of the gospel and how important it is for people to not go to hell and how important it is for people to hear the message of Jesus, do you realize the whole issue of giving wouldn't be an issue at all? That people, us, all of us, our entire generation, we would be looking for ways to give more money. But as it is, we're looking for ways, now listen, to get more money. To get more money. We're not gospel-minded. God didn't say, I'm going to withhold from you. But He still wants us to give so that the gospel can be spread. We don't have that kind of mentality. We think about us and how soon can we get enough money for a down payment on a bigger house? How soon can we get enough money for a down payment on a bigger car? How soon can we get the plasma TV? How soon can we? Let's save. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Go, save. It's a good idea. But if you're saving at the cost of the spread of the gospel, meaning if you're cutting back on your giving or you're not giving at all just so that you can have, you're wrong. You're desperately wrong. And that is not faith at all. Faith says, God, before I go out and spend this money on this, that, and the other, before I start setting back for the big vacation, before I do this, and that, God, I'm going to spend time with You. Now, I'm already going to heaven. And I thank You, Father, that You let Jesus die for me. There's a bunch of people out there that don't know about this. Now, Father, I don't want them to die and go to hell. If that means that I have to watch a little 19-inch color TV the rest of my life,
I'll do it. But what do you want me to do with my money? How much do you want me to give? Now that I know that I am not cursed if I don't give 10%, I don't even want to focus on that anymore, God. What I want to know is this. Do you want me to still give the tenth? If you do, I will. I know I'm not going to be cursed if I don't, but do you want me to? Do you want me to give 20%? 50%? I mean, what do you want, God? What do you want? You tell me, and I will be obedient. I will be obedient. I'll do what you want me to do with my money. See, in the body of Christ, we do not understand that. We've been taught to live by give to get the blessings. God says, no, excuse me, that's not how I work. You're my children. I don't work that way. You're my children and you live in the household. The blessings are already in the house. If you want lunch, go to the refrigerator. Get the bologna, get the bread, make yourself a sandwich. And you don't have to give me an offering in the process. Trust me, there's not a collection bucket hanging on the front of the refrigerator that you had to put money in to get it to open. You remember in the old restrooms, you had to put a dime or a quarter to be able to get in? You don't see those too much anymore. I know Aaron doesn't have a clue what I'm talking about. I had to pay to use the bathroom? Yeah, Aaron, you had to pay to use the bathroom. Well, that's the mentality a lot of Christians have, you know. If I want relief, I got to pay God. That's not in the Word. God wants us to give to spread the gospel. We're still His children. Whether we give or whether we don't give, we're still born again. We're still His children. He loves you. He loves you so much. And you can't buy your blessings. But when you're taught that, this is the whole thing. You can't give money to God and then say, I'm living by faith that God's going to bless me. Because if God hasn't established that in His Word, that's not living by faith. But why are you here? Well, you got to sow your faith seed to get your blessing. And then believe God for the hundredfold return on your faith seed. All right? Show me where God told me I had to give a faith seed to get a blessing. Just show me in here. Well, you got to pull a verse out in order to do that. I don't want a verse. I want the Bible. I want to see what God has said. And that whole concept, it's not in the Word. So you can't live that way and say, well, I'm living by faith. You say, well, you're telling me that God doesn't bless the giving? Oh, yeah. But here's where we get messed up. God blesses obedience. And if obedience is giving something, then you will be blessed. Now, here, let me give you an example. Let's say God wants you. Let's say He looks down at you and He says, all right, step number 23 for you in your fulfillment of everything I've called you to do, step number 23 is for you to be at church every time those doors open for the next 90 days. And you say, well, okay, I will do that, God. So every time those doors open, man, you're there. Now, you've been obedient to Him. Well, what God knows is that you have a tenfold blessing, whatever that means. You have a tenfold blessing already there at step number 23. He says, you do this, you obey me, and step from step 22 into step 23. And this is what step 23 entails. And you say, okay, I will do that. Your obedience is blessed. See? Now, if step 61 is give $1,000 to the Bible college, you're hearing from God. Believe me. If step 61 is, you know, give $1,000 to Kenneth Copeland Ministries or whatever. If that's step 61 and you obey that step, there are blessings associated with that obedience. Some people would say, hallelujah, I gave $1,000, and look what God gave me back. See, it works. And God's in heaven said, no, no, no. I blessed you in all the other times you were obedient and had nothing to do with money. You just now suddenly think the money got the blessing. He says, no, no, I bless your obedience to do what I tell you to do. And if that's nothing more than taking a hamburger to the guy next door, that will be blessed. But it's the giving doesn't cause the blessings. But if you obey me when I tell you to do that, and if giving is obedience to something I've told you to do, you got to understand, there's blessings for the obedience. It's not the dollar amount, it's the obedience. It's you just obeying me as a child obeys a father. I love you so much, I want to pour these blessings out on your life. But if you sit around in disobedience, what makes you think you're going to walk into the blessings that I have already ordained belong to you? Living by faith means doing what God tells you to do. It's not giving money to try and get money back. Living by faith is doing what God tells you to do. When traditions are taught as God's word, people will live by the traditions. Will they not? Well, you better believe they will. When traditions are hammered into people, and some of you have lived in churches or been raised in circumstances where traditions have really been taught hard, and there's bondage in this. And so as the traditions keep being shoved down our spiritual throats, then we ingest that, we digest that, and then we live by it. Okay? So here we are living by our traditions. We believe it's the Word of God. Why do we believe it's the Word of God? Because somebody took a verse and said, see there, you better do this, better live this way. Like the Sabbath thing. You know, if you don't go to church on Saturday. Well, we went to church on Sunday when I was growing up. We called it the Sabbath. That's what I was taught. Okay? It was wrong, but that's what I was taught. And I believe that. I thoroughly believe that. Well, when traditions are taught as God's Word, then we live by the traditions, and this simply emphasizes the need to apply 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where it talks about study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. Not tradition, truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, that's where the line is. That verse right there, 2 Timothy 2:15, should tell a whole lot of people what they should be doing to find out how they're supposed to live. A lot of folks, I remember the story of a pastor. He was invited to go to another church and speak, and he walked into the church. And on the wall of the church were all the rules. I mean, they literally had all the rules painted right on the wall. And this is how you're supposed to live. And if you broke any of them, you weren't supposed to come to church. And a bunch of them, as he was telling the story, a bunch of them had nothing to do with what was in the Bible, but it was the traditions of that group, that organization, see? Well, the Bible is all the tradition I need. I mean, if you want traditions, this is all I need right here. But as long as I stay out of this, and I start listening to what the policy manual says, some of the policy manual may be straight from the Word of God, and some of it may be straight from headquarters. All right? But if I don't know the difference, if I don't get in here to find out what the difference is, then I'm going to be living by traditions. And that's not living by the Word of God. And that's not living by faith. When you know the Word and what you believe lines up with the Word, then you can begin to live by faith. When you know the Word and what you believe lines up with the Word, then you can begin to live by faith. But until you know what the Word says, how can you live by faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you don't know what the Word says, how can you live by faith? How can you say you're living by faith? I was raised, I was taught, gifts of the Spirit aren't for today. I thought I was living by faith. I thought that's what the Bible says. I get into the Bible, I find out that's not what the Bible said. When I decided to embrace what the Bible said, guess what? The gifts became real in my life. Isn't that amazing? I took the Word of God for what it said, and the Word of God produced what it said in my life. Incredible. But after all, that's what God said would happen. See? Now, if you turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. To be kind of blunt, without trying to sound mean, if more Christians started living by faith, you'd have a lot of uncomfortable situations in a lot of churches. Because there are a lot of situations where living by faith is going to be in direct conflict with what a church stands for.
And just because people stand up and tell you you must be born again, and just because churches stand up and tell you you must be born again and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, just because they say that does not mean that everything they teach lines up with the Word. And then if you start living by everything they teach, which could include things that don't line up with the Word, then you're not going to see the blessings being produced in your life. You're not going to see the fullness of your calling begin to manifest. Well, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, now let me just interject this. We simply don't have time in this course to go over everything contained in Hebrews, let alone everything contained in other areas of Scripture that we could go over when it comes to faith. So I wanted to throw that out to you now before we get into this, because I don't want you to think that this is supposed to be the end all concerning teaching as it relates to faith. Okay? So we start in verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, Romans 10:17, where it says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It is only true if you believe the word is eternal truth. Because there are a lot of groups out there that use the same Bible you and I have here tonight, but they do not believe that this word is eternal truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it says here that the word preached did not profit these people because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the word can be preached. The word can be taught. Just like here in this Bible college. You know, I talk so much about praying in the Spirit and how, you know, you build yourself up on your most holy faith praying in the Spirit. Now, if you don't believe that, and you don't believe that it works, and you don't believe that it's true, even though it says so in the Bible, if you don't believe that, then you won't do it. If you don't do it, you're not going to get the results. Let me give you an example of living by faith using Jude 20, where it talks about you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. All right, here's an example of living by faith. Faith says, all right, I see the Bible tells me that if I pray in the Holy Ghost, I build myself up on my most holy faith. All right? I'm going to do that. I'm going to start praying in tongues. Because the Bible says, I will build myself up on my most holy faith if I do that. Now, I've been praying in tongues for a couple of weeks. I don't feel anything. But the Bible says, something's going to happen. Now, this is exactly what happened for me. I heard this teaching, and I thought, well, what do I have to lose? I can pray in tongues. I know that. So, I'll try this out. I'm just going to do it. Everybody else talks about the results. The Copelands, the Hagans, the Robersons, they talk about the results. I can't deny the results I'm seeing. They say it works. All right. Isn't it funny? I did it not because I first read it in the Bible, but because I first heard them say it. But then I went to the Bible, and sure enough, that verse was in there. I thought, well, okay, they're preaching it, but yeah, there it is. I see it in the Bible. I'm going to do it. And so I started praying in tongues. And over time, I began to see the results. But it was an act of faith on my part. I accepted and assumed that the Bible was right. I acted on what I saw in the Word, believing I was going to get these results. And even though I didn't feel results on the inside, results began to manifest. Or, to put it in Book of James terminology, works began to come forth. Okay, the faith began to show itself out, the fruit began to come forth. Well, it says here that the word preached, when it's not mixed with faith, it's not going to profit you. It's not going to do you any good. If we believe the Word is eternal truth, we'll believe what it what it says. We've already talked about Jude 20. Leave your place here in Hebrews and turn over to Psalm 107. We'll look through these briefly. Psalm 107, and take a look at verse 20. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, do you believe that this is real?
Do you believe that God's word can produce healing and deliverance? Do you believe that? All right, now if you believe that, then what you're going to see in the word are words printed in black ink, sometimes red ink, on white paper, but you know, because of what you see here, that the power of this word can produce healing and deliverance in my life. Now, I don't understand how. I don't understand the science, if you will, of it. I don't understand that. I admit it. But I know it works. I know it works. I was raised not to believe this. I came among folk that did believe it. I began to investigate it myself. One of the things that helped me to want to investigate it was because not only did they tell me, I saw. I'm thinking, it's kind of like what happened when Philip went into Samaria. He's preaching Christ, and they believe what they heard and what they saw. They got born again, and Peter and John come in, they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Revival hit Samaria, praise God. Well, I begin to see this, and I'm thinking, well, okay, yeah, that's true. That's been in there. I mean, I never heard it taught before when I was growing up, but sure enough, that stuff's in there. So, okay, well, I accept it then. I mean, God's not a liar. I do praise God one thing for my upbringing, and that's this. You believe the Bible. I mean, praise God, we were taught. You believe the Bible. Just that we didn't get a whole lot of it pointed out to us in some places. So I see this, and I believe this. Now, not only do I believe this, but when I look over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I see it in action. I see Jesus ministering by the power of the Word. And I see results in His life. Then I get over in the book of Acts, and I see these guys ministering. And I see results. So I kind of put it all together, and I figure out, well, all right, then I should be able to get results. If that's what it says, then I should be able to get results. So I began doing what I read about. And I'll admit, I was influenced by preachers when I saw them ministering and operating and so forth. And that's not wrong. Timothy was influenced by Paul, was he not? So I begin to operate by things that I see here in the Word and all that. And I begin ministering to people. And you know what? The most amazing thing happened. People started getting healed. Now go figure that. The Bible says, He sent His Word and healed, delivered them. The power of the Word can heal. I see these things in the Bible. I start doing. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick. I do these things. And you know, people started getting healed. It's the most amazing thing. The Bible was right. Hallelujah. Faith believes this. Here's an example. Remember where it says over there in Mark, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Just give me those poker faces now. Do you lay hands on people and minister to them? Do you? Here's the thought that goes through your mind. I don't have to ask. I know. Here's the thought that goes through your mind. If it doesn't go through now, it did at one time. What if it doesn't work? What if nothing happens? Then what? They might think I'm stupid if I do this. Those are the thoughts. So how do you know that, Brother Martin? Been there. Thought that. That's the kind of stuff that goes through your head. That tells you where you're walking. Do you think Jesus was too concerned about things like that? I mean, when you go around spitting and making mud, slapping it on people's faces, all right, you can't be too concerned about what people think. Jesus operated by the Word of God. So, are you sure about that? Oh, yeah. He said, I don't do anything unless He tells me to do it. I don't say anything unless He tells me to say it. Jesus operated by the Word of God. When we begin operating by the Word of God, we see a verse like this and we believe, okay, this is true. It wasn't just true for the people in the Old Testament. It has to be true for people today too. Especially when I see passages in the New Testament related to healing. It has to be true. It has to be. So, if God sent His Word and I'm to lay hands, I can do this. If I don't see the results, the last thing I need to do is worry about it. What I need to do is keep hearing and hearing by the Word of God and keep praying in the Spirit to be built up. I need to keep doing that. I need to keep going forward. But the last thing
is to sit back and say, I'll wait till I'm ready. When you're ready, you start doing it. See what I'm saying? You say, oh, but how are you going to know, Brother Martin? How are you going to know? You just know. You just, in here, you just know. And you're not too concerned about it anymore. I can remember, I won't go into a whole lot of details, but I remember when I did something one time that I would never have done before. Then all of a sudden I'm in a situation that demands some kind of action, and I did, and you know, I'm just ministering to somebody. I didn't even think about it. I just did it. And after the fact, I'm thinking, I would never have done that before. Why wasn't I embarrassed, self-conscious, afraid, scared? Why wasn't I any of those things when I did that? I thought, well, that's cool. I didn't care what they thought. I didn't care if they rejected. I wasn't even worried if I didn't get results. I just did it. That's faith. That's faith working through you, see? Well, let's look at another passage here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Yes, Brother Martin, we can all quote this one. I'm sure you can. So can I. We're going to read it, though. 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you just saw that in your verse, right in your Bible right now? You just saw that in there. Did you see it in there? Okay. Now, it's my belief this verse means what it says. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have heard it preached that this verse only applied to the Philippians and nobody else. Okay? Now, let's just for a moment, let's play along with that thought. What if that's true? How much more only pertains to the Philippians? And how much only pertains to the Galatians? How much only pertains to the Corinthians? You see what I'm saying? If God's going to supply their need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and He never changes, and He can't lie, and if He's not a respecter of persons, I know that verse is for me too. All right, now, if God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, when I'm living by faith and I accept that this is eternal truth, I can rest in this verse because it is a guarantee from God He's going to help me out. Faith can live according to Philippians 4:19. But when you're not living by faith and you're hoping God will come through, you're in an area to where you really don't know what you're doing, what you're supposed to do, whether He's telling you to do it or not, and you've got all these confusing thoughts rolling around in your head, and you go to your pastor and say, I just don't know what to do. Now, it's not wrong to go to your pastor and talk about things. Please don't misunderstand me. But it's one thing to go to your pastor and say, I need help. Please explain to me. I don't know what to do. What's going on? Help me, help me, help me. And your pastor says, well, it sounds to me like you're facing a lot of problems. But you know what? God said, right here in the Bible, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know it says that, Pastor, but you don't understand. I got problems. Well, yeah, but it says right here. I know, Pastor, it says right there, but you don't understand. No, right about then, you know, I mean, I do understand. But you're really not convinced that this verse applies to you. And so what you're wanting me to do is to give you a solution that's outside the Word of God. Give me a work to perform to get me out of this mess. And let's not talk about what the Bible has to say. Because what they don't say is this. Because, quite frankly, the Bible's not working for me right now. No, wait, the Bible is working for you. It doesn't change. It works for you. But you've got to come to the place of knowing that it works for you. And too many in the body of Christ don't. That's why, you know, we have calls for prayer at our church, and it never bothers me when people come up for prayer. But the deeper Christians go in a faith life, the fewer times they're going to come up to a prayer line for prayer. Oh, great, Brother Martin, now you put me under condemnation. No, do not. No, please. If you're ever in my church, you want to come up for prayer, come up for prayer. Don't feel under condemnation. Okay, here's one for you. Who did Jesus have to go to and ask for prayer? Who could he have asked to pray for him that could have gotten better results than what he could have gotten for himself? Peter? The Pharisees? Would you Pharisees pray for me, please? Everywhere I go, people want to kill me. Who? Judas? Who? Who's going to pray for him? When you're living by faith, now remember, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Anoint with oil and the prayer of faith. Okay? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And the Bible talks about us praying for each other. Alright? Alright, now so don't go out of here and say, well, he said we shouldn't pray for each other. I did not say that. What I'm saying is this. When you have a developed faith life, and remember, this is a growing process. It's not a wake up tomorrow morning and there it is. It is a growing process. But when you have, I'll rephrase it, a developing faith life, there will be fewer and fewer trips to the prayer line. Because you already have it settled that even though you're facing a bad situation, whatever, you already have it settled on the inside of you that this word will come through for me. Because this came from God. And this is going to work. I will rest in this word and know that it will produce for me. I know I'm going to get results. I may not see them tonight. I may not see them tomorrow morning, but I know I will see results. Now, have I gone up for prayer? Absolutely. I'm going to be in Tulsa next week. And depending upon what they call for as far as the prayer line is concerned, I will have absolutely no hesitation to go up there for prayer. None. So I don't know what they're going to call for. So what I'm saying is, you don't feel condemnation about going up. Here's another way to put this. The more that your faith is developing, the less you're going to sense a need to go up for the prayer line. You'll just know. And I've had people come up to me for prayer in a service. And they're not asking for prayer. They're just saying, it's such and such situation, but the Word says, and so I'm just claiming this victory. And I just want you to know that. And they're not asking for prayer. But they're taking a stand. And so what do I do? Man, I stand right there and I just, that's right, in Jesus' name, you know, and I just start speaking the word along with them. And again, this is something that is just, the more you get into this, the more you begin to understand faith, the more you begin to understand how that in the body of Christ, we're really not living by faith the way that we could and the way that we ought to be. We're living by hope that something good is going to happen, that God's going to come through, and that we're going to have some wonderful results, such as a break. Hallelujah. See you in about 5 or 6 or so.